Now, medical research hits the headlines when a breakthrough is made in treating a disease, but there are thousands of scientists working in laboratories hoping their work will bring us one step closer to a cure. Dr. Simon Colster from Botley works at University College London on research in diseases such as Alzheimer's and CJD, and he joins me this morning for an update. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning, Julian.
Obviously, we know you from our daily thoughts, don't we?
Yes, I'm beginning to come on your programme quite a lot.
Well, look, welcome back to hear a bit more about your story. And tell me about 2011, because I know you're going to sort of take maybe a different approach to research this year.
Right, yeah. Well, at the beginning of last year, I thought, OK, this is my year to try and get some funding and put in lots of grant applications to try and launch the project that I want to do. And as we've been talking about for the last year, I put in 8 different funding applications last year, and although some of them got through to the very last stages, none of them were actually successful, which was a bit disappointing. So over Christmas, I sort of stopped and thought, right, what's another way I can approach this? And I thought, well, maybe one of the reasons why they haven't been successful is that I sort of need to do some initial experiments to try and show how my hunches might actually lead to something. So I thought, well, maybe for the first 6 or 8 months of this year, I'm going to stop putting in applications and contact people who I know are working in an area very close to what I want to do in this country and just say, hey, could I come up to the lab, to your labs, and working for free, maybe do some initial experiments to try and get some initial results. And so I've contacted a couple different labs, one up in Cambridge, which I'm going up to at the end of this month, and also one in Oxford that I'm going to next month. And it looks as if hopefully I can set up some collaborations and get some initial work done that then towards the end of the year I can put in a grant application and say, not only is it a good idea, look, it looks as if it might be working. Now can I have some money?
So is it kind of piggybacking on other laboratories, basically?
Yes, I did think originally, well, why on earth would they, you know, want me to come and work when I can't contribute any money or anything to their runnings? But science works by collaborations, and so firstly, they're working in areas that are very close to mine, but if something works, well, we can firstly publish a paper, and the academic code is a sort of publish or perish thing, so obviously they'd be keen to be part of the paper that I published. But also, secondly, if I do then get funding in the future, that's a collaboration set up, and in the future, who knows, someone from their lab might need to come and work in my lab, and so it could reciprocate in that way.
So, Simon, how do you view, and I know what area you're in is the kind of area that produces these stories, the health discovery story, I call them. You know, you see them on the front of the papers saying that a cure has been found for this, or don't eat this, or do that, or here we are, I've got one already. I just, you know, I've opened a paper at random and I knew I'd find a health story within pages. Telegraph, page 7, cancer and heart risk of wood stoves. There you are, that's today's health story. I mean, how do you view those? Because I think the public get very bamboozled and confused.
Well, I think there's a complication. There's two factors going on. The first is because it's so difficult to get funding for research, whenever you have a result, scientists tend to talk it up a bit.
Right.
So a couple of years ago, we published a paper to do with Alzheimer's disease and a drug that we thought might be able to help with it. Now, we were a good 10, 15 years away from that getting to patients. But, of course, all the university press releases came out, cure for Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
The press then picks that up and a story begins to roll before it's really deserves to roll. So
and it brings down people's feeling about scientists because we begin to not believe them.
Well, I think if you go back to the original wording of press releases and what the scientists are actually saying, they're quite different from what is actually reported in the press.
I appreciate that. What I mean is, unfortunately, the way the story is told is brings science into disrepute. Here's another one, Daily Express. I mean, I could pick up any paper, there will be a health story. The Express, normally it's on page 1, actually, for them, but page 3 today. Forget eating fruit, chocolate's far healthier. That's their health story for page 3 today. I mean, it's relentless, this, isn't it?
It is. I read New Scientist quite regularly, and they have a sort of column in there, and they basically come up with a theory that everything in the world can be divided into two categories by the Daily Mail, things that cause cancer and things that cure cancer, and in fact some things actually fall into both of those categories as well.
Simon.
So it doesn't escape the scientists that these stories are sometimes reported very badly.
Maybe when you're on, every time we should go through those because it'll make us smile. Simon, lovely to have you there. We'll talk again very soon.
Great. Thank
All the best. Cheers, mate. Bye-bye. Simon Colstow from Botley, our medical researcher, telling his story.